Okay, take your Bible then, please. the sermon text I chose for tonight is from Proverbs, but I want to go back to Ruth just for a minute. I want to return to a certain theme that came up a few times in the book of Ruth. Because, we've talked about storytelling, right? We've heard a story. Ruth teaches us more by example than by precept, right? And there's not like commandments in Ruth. We have a story. And we're to make a pun, I guess, we're to glean from the book of Ruth things for our own nourishment and our spiritual health. And we did talk some about loyalty and kindness. But I don't want to leave the book behind without taking a little more time to consider that, because that's the only thing that's going to hold us together. And I want to start tonight with a little bit of a word study. So there's a special Hebrew word that's in once each in each of the first three chapters of Ruth, and I just want to pick those verses out for you and then talk about this word for a little while. So Ruth 1:8 is the first verse I want to look at. There's 1:8, 2:20, and then 3:10. Ruth 1:8 says, "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each to her mother's house, and may the Lord deal kindly with you.'" That's the word there. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." So just put a mark by that verse mentally. Chapter 2 and verse 20. "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.'" All right, the Lord has not forsaken his kindness. Okay, so in chapter 1 she said, "May the Lord deal kindly with you," and now here, "the Lord has not forsaken his kindness." And then in chapter 3 and verse 10, excuse me, this is Boaz speaking, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." So kindness is what our version has. However, often it's the case when taking words from one language to another that the receptor language, in this case English, doesn't have any exact parallel for the original word. So the Hebrew word here has another layer of meaning beyond simple kindness, which also lends to the word a sense of something like loyalty or commitment or dedication. All right, and we're talking about the Hebrew word chesed. You can buy a hungry person a meal, and that's kind, right? That happens. You can give somebody a birthday present. That's kind, too. You can, you're shopping and you see a little lost boy, he's crying, he's looking for his mommy, you can help him find his mommy, that's kind. You can get together a team of guys and you can go, say on a mission trip or something like that and paint somebody's house, that's kind. But those kinds of interactions with people, they're momentary, right? They pass, right? They're ephemeral. When they're over, they're over. You move on. This word here, Ruth's kindness, and the Lord's kindness, as Naomi expresses it in chapter 2, clearly it's not something that's momentary, right? There is a lasting, durable devotedness to them. Okay, Ruth, we know Ruth. She's in it for the long term. She has glued herself to Naomi, like super glued herself to Naomi. She begs her, don't tell me to leave you. She made it very clear in chapter 1, nothing but death will part me from you. Okay. Same way with the Lord's, quote, kindness. The Lord is persistently good. You know, what does the Bible say? He will never leave us or forsake us. He's not sporadically kind or, from time to time, intermittently kind in the way that he remembers us, right? He doesn't sort of do kind things once in a while when it occurs to him. He didn't, in fact, treat Naomi shabbily, Did he? You know, she thought so, right? She said, you know, the Lord's hand has gone out against me. But, you know, it's not at all as if the Lord just forgot to be nice to her or anything. So later on, she realizes this and said, he has not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. So English word kindness, as you and I think of it, doesn't really do the word full justice on its own. There's another word they sometimes use to translate it into English, and that's mercy. And in the Greek translation of Ruth and in the Latin translation, they used the respective words there for mercy in chapter 1 and chapter 3. Well, as our Spanish speaker, you know the word misericordia. That's Latin also, right? And it means compassion or mercy. And some other places in the English Bible, they do translate this word with mercy. We sing it when we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, right? Morning by morning, new mercies I see, right? So mercy. To me, though, and this is just my opinion, mercy is a word that has to do with forgiving a guilty person or going easy on some, okay? A court or a judge would have mercy. You know, I could impose a harsh sentence on you for your crime, but instead I choose to have mercy. Or in the sense of pity, you know, you catch a bug in your house or a mouse in your house, and instead of killing it, you have mercy, you know, and you throw it outside instead, you know, that sort of thing. But that also can just be a temporary thing. I mean, you've made no long-term commitment to the bug, or, you know, the judge has made no long-term commitment to the person at the bar. That to me, that's kind of the significant nuance that I want to draw out of this word, this aspect of a enduring faithfulness. Okay, and so translators into English have always had trouble with this word. In the New American Standard, you get the word loving kindness, which is a word that Coverdale made up. Miles Coverdale, when he was translating the Bible in the 1500s, he was translating the Bible into English, and he did not want to use the word kindness to translate this word into English as far as God's dealing with Israel. So he kind of, you know, made up this word loving kindness to show there's an investment being made. There's something deep. So like I said, English versions kind of have trouble with it. Sometimes they just use the word love, which that's so open to misinterpretation. Sometimes mercy, sometimes kindness. In the English Standard Version, they chose to use the phrase steadfast love, which I don't know, I kind of don't like it. It doesn't roll off the tongue. You know, it's there's that one hymn that says, it keeps saying, for his mercy endureth forever, his mercy endureth forever. And there's a nice beat to that, you know, there's a rhythm, his mercy endureth forever. And then in another version, thy loving kindness is everlasting. Okay, his loving kindness is everlasting. And to say his steadfast love, it's just, who says steadfast? I don't know, it's just, it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't jive with me. Anyway, it gets the idea across. What is this word? So like I said, here's a comment from one of the commentators. The word's only used in cases where there is some recognized tie between the parties concerned. It's not used indiscriminately of kindness generally, like haphazard kindly deeds. Okay? The theological importance of the word is that it stands for, more than any other word, stands for the attitude which parties to a covenant ought to maintain toward each other. Okay? So some people will say this word means God's covenant faithfulness. To me, though, this is formalizing it too much, because God is, he's faithful, and he was faithful before he had made any covenants, right? And it's, I don't want us to think that, like Ruth and Naomi, they didn't make a covenant together. You know, they didn't sign a treaty or anything like that. So, plus you can keep, you know, if you were to sign a contract with somebody, you could keep the terms of the contract, and, you know, there's really no nice feeling, you know, I'll be obedient to this, but, you know, there's not necessarily any love involved here. So, you know, we're still at a loss for a word. Some kind of loyal, kind lovingness, okay? Whatever we choose to use, as long as we understand there is a persistence, there's some kind of ongoing relationship, a tie, right? And that sometimes things might threaten the tie. Sin, right? Or difficult circumstances might threaten to break the tie. But in my loving, kind loyalty, I decide not to break the relationship. Okay, the same way that Ruth decided not to walk away from Naomi. So this is a threat. Yes, she loves her mother-in-law. There's a threat to the relationship in their poverty. And she could have said, well, I'll see you, you know, God be with you, but I'm going. And same way between us and God. Okay, we sin, and it threatens to interrupt our relationship with God. But in his loving kindness, in his loyalty, he is committed to the relationship. And so that's why mercy comes in. He chooses to overlook the sin because he's committed to the relationship moreover. Okay, so when we talk about God's mercy, it's not just, you know, a judge deciding, I'm going to go easy on you. It's because he's committed to not breaking this relationship. So it is a steadfast love, right? It's sturdy. He chooses not to stop his commitment to us because we are foolish or we sin or, you know, we're selfish. So he's loyal. The only thing I would add to that is the word loyal, usually you think of an inferior as loyal to his superior. Right, and of course, God is not our inferior. Okay, this we pledge our loyalty to Him, and we owe it to Him. He's loyal to us, even though He doesn't owe it to us. Right. So, Naomi says, "The Lord has not forsaken His fill in the blank. What's this word? He has not forsaken His loyalty or His loving faithfulness to the living and the dead." Okay, steadfast love is how the ESV has it. Goes in both directions. And between people that are equals and people that are not. So, you know, Ruth to Naomi, Boaz to Ruth, God to Naomi. And one thing is the God to Elimelech. Okay, Elimelech's dead, and God still has not broken off his faithfulness to Elimelech. All right, so I said all that to say this. Where am I going with this? This has to do with us as a church. Okay, as I said, this quality, this is really the only thing that that's going to hold us together, because we are few and we're not very strong. So how are we going to get through thick and thin together? How is each of us going to finish our race well? So this brings me to the text that came to my mind this week, and it's in Proverbs 3. So if you look at Proverbs 3, 3, and 4, and again, so it's got this word and it's got another one that's also tricky to translate. So I'm going to give you a couple of different translations. But in this little couple of verses, we have an indispensable piece of wisdom. So Proverbs 3, 3. New King James Version says, "Let not mercy," here's our word, they chose the word mercy, "let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Okay, mercy, truth. The ESV says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness," right? Instead of truth, they said faithfulness. "So let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, and so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." Okay, are you with me? New American Standard says, "Don't let kindness and truth forsake you." The NIV says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." Okay, so loving kindness, faithfulness, bind them around your neck, write them on your heart, and you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So whatever words you want to choose for them in English, there's two things that Solomon says here are the key to winning the favor of God and the favor of man. And the first one being this loving, kind, steadfast loyalty of the sort that Ruth showed to Naomi and God showed to Naomi and Boaz showed to Ruth. Okay. What did Boaz say to Ruth? "As surely as the Lord lives, I will perform the duty of a kinsman to you." All right, he committed himself. There's a tie that's voluntarily made and kept. Okay, and think about how Ruth expressed it. She said, "Entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I go." And right where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So even after, remember, even after Naomi dies, Ruth is not going back to Moab. Okay, where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried. Okay, so that's one thing we have to have, and it says, let it never forsake you. And the other thing is, okay, according to two of those versions, it says faithfulness. And then the other two versions, it says truth. So truth in the sense of not true versus false, you knowing facts that are true. But when a person is true, like you're true to a relationship, right? You're a loyal friend. So faithfulness is a good translation, a true protector, a true servant. When we say that Christ is yours and you are his, you belong to each other, okay? We talk about being true to a marriage, right? Here's the same idea of steadfast love and faithfulness, okay? Again, think Boaz. As the Lord lives, surely I will do the duty of a kinsman for you. He is making of himself a gift to her. He is giving her his shelter, his heart, his home to have, right? That's part of the marriage vow. To have, right? I give myself to her to have and to hold, right, from this day forward. So why do we think that the love of Christ for his people is likened to a marriage? It's because of this loyalty, right, this steadfast, loving, kind faithfulness that endures forever, right? It has already endured all the misbehavior and recklessness and foolishness of our sin, right? It's already endured that. He's still faithful to us. It has already provided the blood necessary for our atonement. It's already endured that. It has hundreds of blessings in store for us for this life, and it has a home in heaven waiting for us for eternity to come, right? And his love keeps on cleansing us, right? He's faithful. That's what that verse says. If we confess our sins, he is loyal, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. His loving kindness is everlasting, right? He is, without a doubt, he's committed to us. So this is why Solomon says this is key to being in good favor with God, right? It says, let whatever this quality, whatever you want to label it, loving kindness, let loving kindness and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, engrave them on the tablet of your heart. Be true. Be like Ruth, be like Boaz, that's godliness, right? It's to be like God himself. He does not forsake his kindness to the living or the dead. So, like I said, that brings us to each other. I mean, look around at these faces. This is the arena in which we have voluntarily chosen, we've pledged, we've agreed to exercise these Ruth-like, Boaz-like, Christ-like attributes of faithfulness, committedness, right, devotion. These are the people, our church members are who we're to be true to. This is God's design, that in a locality, the Christians who are bound together like members of a body are, inextricably bound to each other, that they should be devoted to one another in brotherly love, right? There's that kind of that same word, love, agape, just as tricky to translate into English as the Hebrew word. That's a great place, that verse, devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's a great place for us to plug in this concept of loving, kind, steadfast loyalty, right? Devoted to each other with a Ruth-like, Boaz-like, please entreat me don't entreat me to leave you. I'm going to go where you go. As far as in me lies, only death will separate us. That, okay, or you can, I guess if you move, right? If you move, well, we'll let you go. But short of that, right? So this is how we're supposed to show ourselves be Christ's disciples. This is how we bear his likeness. This is because that's what he's like, right? He himself is abounding in whatever you want to call this word, loving kindness. He's gracious, he's compassionate, slow to anger, and full of loyal love and tender mercies. So this is what church membership should entail. And if I could accomplish one thing at First Baptist Church, this is the fact I would like for, you know, to get down deep in Christians' hearts and get a firm grip on this. It is literally the only thing that can hold us together through thick and thin, okay? For most Christians, church membership, if they're even members of churches at all, church membership is a series of temporary relationships. Have you ever heard the term serial monogamy? Right, I'm monogamous, but, you know, I have this girlfriend until we break up. And then I have this girlfriend, and I'll be faithful to her until we break up. And then I'll have another one, and then another one. So, you know, in a way, I'm faithful. But, you know, if I like another girl better, you know, I'm faithful as long as I'm in it. But whenever I choose to leave it, you know, I'll leave it. So, to me, that's... how does that make sense, right? How is that steadfast love and faithfulness? Okay, I will go here for as long as I'm willing to go here. But if I change my mind, which I reserve the right to do, I'll go somewhere else. And people depart from their church rather than working through things. Now, of course, we've seen this a number of times just in our recent past. And you have to ask, if this is how things are going to be, what certainty do we have about each other that more people are not just going to exercise their right? You know, if you have a right to just go wherever you're going to go. And if we should win any new believers, if we're going to have one in 2019, or say we're going to have two or three, what guarantee do we have? How long are they going to stay? I mean, as soon as they find a place that they like better, what's keeping them here? So how can you work this way? You know, how can we hope to ever build anything if at any time people suddenly might decide, I've had enough, and, you know, I think I'm going to quit? Right? We have to be able to know and believe that we can rely on each other. That when we have a difference of opinion or something I don't like, I'm not going to say, you know what, just forget it, I quit. That's opposite to this concept, isn't it? Okay, there's a tie between us that I'm committed, and I hope all of you are committed to maintaining that tie. And I believe that to be Jesus's command. I believe that that's the glue that holds churches together, just as it's the glue that holds a marriage together, and it's the glue that binds God to his people, right? So we have to aim at that, and we have to guard that and nurture that. Okay, so here's the proverb again. 3:3 and 4. Let love, okay, steadfast love, loyalty, and faithfulness never leave you. Why do you think Solomon sees it as so important to give this advice to his son? Okay, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. Okay, if we don't pledge our loyalty and faithfulness to some specific set of relationships, how can we please God, right? Bind this concept around your neck and inscribe it on the tablet of your heart and let it never leave you. We make a promise, right? And we have to take our promise seriously, that we covenant with each other and with God. Don't you think that's really what Jesus's commandment means? When he says, you know, a new commandment I leave you, that you love one another. Well, there's that word. Love, agape. What does it mean? It doesn't mean just be fond of each other. You know, it doesn't mean that you like to have dinner together. It's this loving, kind, faithfulness, steadfast loyalty to each other, bearing with one another and forgiving each other your grievances, okay? Someday, I would like to retire, but I would absolutely not like to quit. You see the difference? Like, I don't see the possibility being allowed me to quit. You know, under what scenario would it be right for me to throw in the towel and just say, no, no, I guess I'm done. I can't see. I would feel that I had violated my promise. You know, at what point can you say, well, I think I've just had enough, right? You know, because pastors do quit. And parishioners quit. And they just say, I've had enough. I want to, you know, it's one of the things I've come away with from the book of Ruth. You know, I want to choose to do as Boaz did, where he said, surely as the Lord lives, I'm going to do this duty for you. Okay, and we all ought to be like Ruths and Boaz to each other. You know, I insist on maintaining this tie of brotherly love despite, well, we're kind of running low on money, despite personality differences, despite life's stress. Right? Did Ruth say, I'll be with you, you know, until I change my mind? No, okay? It's one thing to say, I'm getting exhausted, I'm getting tired, I really, you know, please somebody take over for me, and, you know, I'll show them how to do it. And it's another thing to say, I quit. Right? That's it, I'm done. Okay? Do we want there to be an us? I think it's an important question to answer. Or are we satisfied as long as, you know, some organization called First Baptist Church continues to exist, you know, even if there's just, you know, sort of a perpetual flux of people through the doors, you know, they come and go and they form these temporary relationships and, you know, the church itself in name goes on. But this is why God looks down from heaven and he says to men, your faithfulness, it's this word, your chesed, it's like the morning mist, right? You're not like God in this way, right? Great is God's faithfulness. His chesed is new every morning. God's faithfulness is everlasting. The faithfulness of men, it evaporates, right? And there's a proverb that says, a faithful man who can find. So I guess I'll leave you with that. You know, what do you... As an individual, are you going to stand upon the word that you've given and be reliable, right? Say, I will never leave you or forsake you. Say, I will surely live toward you. I'm going to live toward you with loving kindness and steadfast loyalty, the same way that Christ has lived toward me and he loved me and still loves me. He's true. Okay, I'm going to be true to you, Edwina. I'm going to be true to you, Vemma. I'm going to be true to you, Aunt Lee, and Uncle Horace, and Pastor Bob. I'm going to be true to you. This is my commandment. That's what Jesus says. As I have loved you, there's that word, as I have showed faithful loving kindness toward you, so do for one another. Here's the proverb. Let steadfast love and faithfulness never leave you. Hang it around your neck. Write it upon your heart. Let that love cover over a multitude of sins. So, to me, Ruth has been very beneficial. We have learned from a story. We have learned some very important principles about godliness and loyalty and faithfulness by the examples of people and by God's own example. I, myself, want to be more like them all. I really, really appreciate Boaz and Ruth. Hey, you expect it of God, you know, to find it in people, it's special. So I really appreciate Boaz and Ruth. Maybe this sounds very idealistic. You know, I know there's not a lot of church members that are really, really willing to make that kind of commitment. And maybe it's more than they intend. Maybe it's more than you intend to give to a church. But wouldn't it be nice to have said at the end of your life that you lived up to a high standard, one that's very much like God, rather than, you know, what's the standard practice of most people, which is, you know, a temporary commitment until I change my mind. Okay, favor and a good name with God and men. That's what we hope to win. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, your enduring love, your everlasting love. Father, indeed, you are so very faithful. And I know, Lord, it would be pleasing to you if all of us would grow up into that same steadfast, enduring love. I love my brothers and sisters that are here And I love the ones that are missing tonight. And I hope, Lord God, to serve you with all my heart here in this church. And I hope that each of us will do the same until you perhaps call us to another place or call us home to yourself. But Father, as long as we share this place and live here around Bridgeton, I pray that our love for each other, our faithfulness, our loyalty, and our devotion to each other would be strong, and that it would be pleasing in your sight, Lord God. May we live for you as we have sung tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.